We give you praise, Jesus. We give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, I am and I am. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty. But thank you. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you. And the way maker, the miracle, the light in this apartment. Thank you. Bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshiped. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshiped. Let's put those beautiful hands together for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Yes, thank you for that. And the mic can be finer. It's good, but it can be finer. Just a bit of treble. But choir, thank you. That was a powerful time. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. All right. All right. Amen. Now let me give a very strict warning, particularly those of you at the media stand. If I minister and you leave church for any reason, be dealt with. For no reason should any man be standing there if you are supposed to be here. Now, gotten too many reports. If I'm ministering, you step out of church for any reason, be dealt with. Let's move on. Are you selling yam there? Where's Bishop Shane? Where are they? Why should you sit at the back? Are you an enemy of the church? Be with the brethren. How do most of you like to sit at the back as if you are against the church? Are you an antichrist? I want to make sure I pay attention to all these details. Amen. All right. Okay. When we're teaching about relationship, we're more than this. A serious matter. There are two issues that make African Christians pray loudest. And you are praying about husband or wife, or when you are praying that enemy of father's house or mother's house should die, then they pray the loudest. I don't know where I was speaking. I think it was in Lagos. That the message that brought many Christians into Christianity is not the full gospel. The message. And I need to start from that. Scripture made it very clear. Psalms 11 verse 3. If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Please look up. Don't jot yet. Most of us don't go back to those jottings. You have not listened to my sermon at all until you have heard it at least 5 times. Even if I teach for 15 minutes, you have not heard it at all until you have heard it for at least 5 times. Like I said, the series I'm taking is an apostolic series. One of the tribulations I have as a minister of the gospel who have had the privilege of traveling across different places to bless lives is the fact that some Christians do not have their foundation in the Word. It amazes me to see that when it is time for impartation, you see young men and women jumping. They are ready to receive what God has done to someone over the years. They want to take everything in just one laying of hands. But when it's time to teach them the Word, something that you have encountered in God that showed you the process of how to get there, then you discover that some of them are sleeping or some of them just lose interest. Or some, they can't stay under a message that is longer than 1 hour. The moment it is an hour, like there's a system within them that tells them it's time to shut down. So sometimes it bothers my heart. People will pay for flight to come to a place, you get there, and you discover that this is a church. They have been growing these people on something, but that thing is not the Word. Because whatever material you use to build the foundation, you can also use that material to continue. While we're growing up, all those who used to go and stay outside doing sermon, they are nowhere to be found. All of them. There are a few people here, some of them who are from Ife, that have taken them in series myself from their part one days, sometimes for 6 hours, for 8 hours, sitting down by discipline to take the Word. Because the average mentality everybody carries now, if you can get one or two things, you to start dispensing. I'm going to teach you something in this series. Using the Word as an anchor. The sword of the Spirit is not just for fighting first. It is first used as an anchor. You have to be standing to fight. If it does not hold you, you can't fight. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? The reason why I have a lot of burden in my heart is that there are many people in church that won't see Jesus. I trust God in this series. I'm going to bulldoze any wrong doctrine you have ingested. There are many people in church that won't see Jesus. There are pastors that won't make it to heaven. There are many things happening in these last days that gives us reasons to cry. If you are passionate about the body of Christ, it is in this season we are seeing pastor bring Fuji musician. They introduce someone as an allergy, and yet they bring him to church and they are saying, come and bless the people. You hear their message, there's nothing like Christ in it. They even give you the impression that you and a Muslim are serving the same God. It is in this dispensation I see a pastor read book over 1,000 pages, but there is no mention of Jesus in any page. They say they are implying it. Since when did we start implying the one who came and died naked for us? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? One of the concerns I have is that after all this, what I'm doing now is an activity. It's an activity. Anybody can preach. There are some of you listening to me now, you can preach better. For you, I'm even too slow. This activity does not show anyone is wise. What shows that we are wise is that we live by the word. It is first an anchor before it is a weapon. Are you following what I'm saying? So, I want to take you on a series and preparing the church for the coming of Christ. So we have a long way to go in this series. We have a journey to go in this series. And the Lord laid it strongly in my heart to start. I was able to buttress a part, just a glimpse of this. And this is one of the painful truths. Sometimes you get hosted for a meeting. You can't teach beyond introduction because that is how far they are open. And then you dance around the introduction, just trying to make them come to one light. And after the whole thing, people start jumping about and say, that man, he blessed us. But you know you can't go beyond introduction. I want us to look at the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. If you are there, say amen. So we'll start reading from verse 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. We'll start from verse 1. Just a minute. Amen. All right. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. Now we can draw a lot of teachings from this, verse 1 to verse 3. Eternal wisdom hidden in it. If the disciples had believed enough in the fact that Jesus had said he will rise up from the grave on the third day, there would have been no need for him to begin to show himself with infallible proofs. Why? Our salvation is not anchored on his death. It is anchored on his resurrection. So, he needed to show them infallible proofs. How many days did it take him to show them for them to now come to believe? 40 days of living with them after resurrection. Why did it take Jesus 3 days to rise up from the grave? Or you think the work he went to do in hell to get the keys? It was written in Revelation 1 verse 18. Revelation 1 18. Give us that scripture quickly. I need to be very fast with me tonight. Revelation 1 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So, some Bible scholars will believe what he went to do in the grave. It took him 3 days to get these keys. No, it can't take him 3 days to get the keys, because the first time he got there, the king's prince of this world came to him and they found nothing of theirs in him. He was the only legal man to go there and check out again. So we call him the firstborn from the dead. Why 3 days? The Jews don't believe a fellow is truly dead until after 3 days. They don't believe the soul is totally separated from the body until after 3 days. So he stayed in the grave for 3 days for them to be convinced beyond doubt. He died. Now go back to that Acts 1 verse 3. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Are you seeing what is happening? Do I have Bible scholars here? Talk to me. Do I have Bible scholars? What do you think this is? Three and a half years, you are studying a 4-year course in Nigeria. Let's say, for instance, you are studying microbiology. Study it 4 years, academic calendar. But in human calendar, sometimes it is 3, sometimes it is 3.5, right? So, if you spend 3.5 years on campus, you have gotten a degree, right? Good. So, after studying microbiology for 3.5 years, somebody is still asking, what is cell? And say, maybe a cell is that part of a cow's eyes that bulges out. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you seeing how stupid this can be? He had talked to them. The kingdom I've come to restore is not the kingdom of this world. Meaning that it is possible to be saying the same thing for 3.5 years and yet they've not come to the understanding. And that's the problem many of you have. You have people you are training, but you think you are only a sound trainer if you say everything you know. It's low self-esteem. You want to prove to those you are leading that you know so much. They are ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. We have people now who preach like a footballer. They just want to show you skills. And say, let me give you one more. Now, if I say this one, you see how it... Let me show you one more thing now. You see, this one is the hidden mystery of the awakened men. And by the time the one who is saying the hidden mysteries, don't talk, he himself looks mysterious. Now they are more confused than they used to be. That's why Jesus needs to deal with you and this flesh in you to be able to preach what he wants you to preach. If you are not dealt with, you will say what you want to say. They will clap, but they will remain the same. They will shout. They will call you deep, but forever they will be shallow. If after teaching somebody, if I was Jesus, after 3.5 years, when the father has spoken nice things, I've stuck with God. Did you see the conversation in John 17? Powerful conversation. That's the conversation of a man who has finished, right? You know, among these guys, there was still one amongst them called Thomas, who had it in mind. If you like, show yourself for 40 days. It doesn't matter. I need to put my hands inside that hole in your hands and put my hands in your side and be sure you are the one. Three and a half years. Will you not call that wasted? Go back to the Acts 1. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This is the same way we all will be received one day. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two what? We're not going into the theology of that. They are not angels. Two men. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So I'm teaching you the first subtopic is this same Jesus. Put your phones on silence. One minute, he was talking with them. We didn't have an account of the fellow who asked that question, that will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel, if he had known that that's the last opportunity he will ask to have ask the question one on one, he would have asked a better question. In the case of Elijah and Elisha, all the sons of the prophet knew. Nobody passed any announcement. There was no WhatsApp group. There was no bulk SMS. They were very coherent in the spirit. They knew. And they were asking Elisha, do you know that God is going to take your master away from you? And he said, I know. Hold your peace. He got to Bethel. They asked the same thing. So in the case of Elijah, they knew. But in the case of Jesus, it was as they were still talking. Whenever I read this scripture, it looks to me like there was a system that got tired of their familiarity and took him off from them. They were talking about political reign. Jesus was talking about a spirit that will be given to them. And until that spirit is given to them, they can't be witnesses. So they were worlds apart after spending 3.5 years with them, plus extra 40 days. This scripture gives me a lot of concern. I wish the men standing there said, "Jesus, whom you see taking up." But they said, "This same Jesus." Why is that a serious word? The same Jesus whose presence you didn't maximize is coming back. Not another Jesus. Most of us need to know how serious that is. You know, and this is a scripture we have to look at from their perspective. They had a foretaste of this experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a foretaste. They were together with him, Peter, James, and John. By the way, Jesus didn't limit it to three. Those were the three that chose to come closer. Sometimes in a spiritual circle, it takes more than love to come closer. It also takes confidence. And that's why if you read the Bible, there was never a place that Jesus called John his beloved. There was never a place in the Bible that he referred to John as his favorite. It was not in Matthew. It was not in Mark. It was not in Luke. It was only in the book that John wrote. What's the wisdom behind that? If you say you are his beloved, you are. Imagine having a mentor. The kind of mentor you stay with. You live in the same house for 3.5 years. They were together on that Mount of Transfiguration, and all of a sudden a great light shone. And they saw Jesus in another dimension. He was no longer standing as the normal Jesus they knew. There must have been times that he was in the toilet and he said, "John, get me water." Or, "Peter, get me tissue." He's just a man. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, a light shone round about them. And so they saw who were the two folks talking with him there? Huh? The law and the prophet. And they stood, were talking with him. It doesn't matter the dispensation they had operated. This is their father talking. They were talking with him with so much. And nobody told them this is Moses. Nobody told them this is Elijah. There's something about the spirit realm. Everything introduces itself. You don't understand. If you catch a glimpse of the spirit realm, everything has the inherent capacity to give you a description of itself. Not with words, but downloaded in your spirit. That is, if you are caught up in the spirit realm, a flower will tell you its botanical name, if it exists there. It will tell you its name, the reason for its colors. Everything comes as a perfect convergence of revealing the splendor and the glory of God. Everything in heaven testifies of Christ. So in heaven, all the constellations are in perfect harmony, talking about one person, Jesus. And suddenly, Peter and James heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." What is the meaning of that? Keep quiet. When you go to a river, you don't give, you take. Listen to him. Meaning that they were not listening. And Jesus warned them, "Don't say this to anybody." there are 12 disciples, but there are 3 custodians. Because if you were there, you trust Peter, our wonderful uncle, all they have done. Hey! You need to know what happened yesterday night. We saw Moses. Some of you have only heard about some men. If I mention Jeremiah, do you know what he looks like? Do you know what Isaiah looked like? How many of you have people you read about in the Bible and you can't wait to see them, like David? You can't wait to see them in that their flowing robe and then carrying one harp. Who have you seen now that you are shouting about an angel? Who did they see? Moses and Elijah. Not Elisha, Elijah. Elisha didn't finish. If you read the story of Elijah alone, you would have blamed Elijah and say he was an angry prophet. He was this. Until Elisha came and tried to carry what he was carrying. And that's when he discovered. It takes more than just zeal to carry the anointing. It takes a heart. And that heart was not too big enough. Because if you read the Bible, Elisha looks like the soft one. That's what you might normally think. The dimension he was carrying. This is not even my direction. Just saying this in passing. The dimension upon Elisha was the dimension to bring unity, to bring the Gentiles to God. The first area the enemy went for to attack him was his heart. The current battle you are fighting is not just about you, it's about what you represent. So the most important faculty of you in fulfilling what you represent is what is under attack. If you are prophetic, your mind will be under attack. The devil wants to fill it with pornography and lust. That's the place where you could have captured the reality of God. If the anointing of a father is upon your life towards a generation, the first place that will be under attack is your heart. Terrible sons will come and they will make you not believe in others coming. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they had a foretaste of the distance between them and Jesus. The wide gap. They were sleeping in the same room, but the distance between Christ and them was higher than the distance of the heaven to the earth. Are you aware that proximity is not access? How many of you have stayed in the same room with a dead body before? Either of an uncle, a person, you went to a mortuary, you went to an hospital, you were in the same place with a dead person. Let me see your answer. Some of you have never had the opportunity. I don't know if that's an opportunity. What happens? If someone is dead, they are right in front of you. You are shouting their name, but they are too far to hear. The distance is not kilometer distance. It is realms. Let me explain. The distance between men is not kilometers. It is not meters. It is not centimeters. It is realms. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, if I'm transferring something from 2 gadgets through Bluetooth, How many of you can stand between the two phones and interrupt the Bluetooth? The material for transmitting is here. But it is flowing from another medium. That you are not, can you see it? Do you see the music when the music is jumping into this phone? I'm asking a question. But you are there. You can be in a place and a whole lot of spiritual reality will play out. And you are not in the realm where they can be seen or trapped. That's why I need to tell you. Many Christians will make it to heaven, but not many can see Jesus. At least not immediately. This is the part we've not been told. The pastor was me, that's heresy. Hold on. This is a series for 2 months. Some of you have uncles that are dead now. Huh? They died. Some of them gave their life to Christ on their deathbed. They quickly cried. And of course, no one who comes to him will be casted away. Are they in heaven? Yes. But as a babe, you can't comprehend him here on earth. In heaven, we'll still grow. So you think they are saying, grow now. You say, hey, if it's just about making to heaven, I'll get to heaven. Some pastors on earth will be in pre-nursery in heaven. It is not about the depth you teach. It's about the depth you live. How many of you have ever stayed in the same, if you have younger ones, that the distance between you and them is like 20 years? Those ones, they were not praying for that came. And they disturbed the mode. They didn't know that they were not really prayed for. They were not wanted, but they are here. And they will let the whole world know they are here. Those ones. How many of you had cousins who came to stay with you? But you were on your phone, chatting up your boo, and just talking. The guy is there. He thinks the sister or the brother is busy doing something that makes sense. But he doesn't know. I should get what I'm saying now. They are in the same room, but they are reasoning what they are capable of. Their actions are world apart. It doesn't matter the material you bring to that boy now. He cannot understand what this fellow understands. Because you didn't get there with materials. A process took you there. Many of you think book will immediately bring you to the stature of the author. Book will show you what the author knows. Than the pathway to getting there. It doesn't bring you there. I have books I'm reading. Some of them, this is the 12th time. And I've not yet tasted those experiences they had. Amen. So, they were talking to us. And as I read this scripture, I kept biting my finger. Though I suspected Peter. Why? He has a track record of saying things like that. Brother Peter. Many of you may blame him now. But regardless of the mystery Paul will come to know, God, Jesus saw the need for Peter to be the foundation. He saw that need. We're not going there yet. So he was asking.
Let's rewind that scripture by 5 minutes. We're all there. And Peter was there. John, let's assume you, whatever your name is, now you are now among those 12. We are called 12 disciples of Jesus. We call your name Ebuka, also is there. Let's assume Fermi Lazarus among the 12. Let's assume you were able to pick 5 minutes before that time that you'll be taken from among, because they didn't know. Let's assume you were able to pick 5 minutes before that moment that this Jesus you are seeing now, you will not see him again physically in this land of the living. If you see him, it is in the spirit realm. And we need to really explain many things about that realm. As I'm looking at you now, you discover that this is the last time you'll be seeing him one-on-one like this, stepping on the same sand, wearing the same clothes with you. Last time. And the time keeps ticking. 4 minutes, 55 seconds. 4 minutes, 58 seconds. 4 minutes, 57 seconds. What kind of question will you ask? What kind of request will you make? Because you know the revelation of the one standing in front of you. What would you do differently? It was a shocker. Suddenly it was with them. The next minute, a cloud took him up. And they were all looking. No words. They didn't know what to think. What not to think. Only for someone to stand there and say that the same way you have seen him taken up, this same Jesus is going to come back in like manner. This is over 2,000 years. Let's assume they are still alive. Many of them will have a lot of regret. I wish I'd maximized my time. And as I look at this scripture, I remember what the event that transpired in John chapter number 21. Turn your Bibles there. John 21. Let's start reading from verse 18. Verily I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself, thou walkest whither thou wouldest. So according to God's equation, a baby is the one that does what he wants to do. This is the way Jesus looks at things. When you were young, when you were small, you went anywhere you wanted to go to. You do anything you wanted to do. But it says that when you become what? Of age. When you behold, you will stretch your hand. Another will greet you and carry you where you don't want to go. This speak is signifying by what death you should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. That was the last thing he told Peter. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. Which book is this written? John. Seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed? So he was describing, it was John that leaned at the breast of Jesus at the supper. So according to this scripture, it means John must have had that conversation with Peter. That when we were at that supper, when I was laying on his chest, I asked him and he told me it is the one I give soup to. You guys didn't see that then. He put soup in the mouth of Judas. He knew. So John, they had discussed that. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Peter. Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad amongst brethren, that disciple should not die. Yes, Jesus said unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I don't have time to go into all these things. And the reason why I say I don't have time is not because there's no time, but I feel you are not ready for it. By implication, quoting the Bible, what Jesus was saying here is that currently, John is not dead. Are there not many people like him? Enoch. Paul would have been like this. He walked to go with God in Arabia to a point that he was given the option to vanish or to remain with the brethren, but he chose. Why did they fry John and he wouldn't die? Have you tried frying a fish before? And after frying the fish, it shakes again. I'm sure you leave the house for the fish. In tongues. Okay, Tina, Kish, the Felida. Vehedicum, Lahati Kish, the Krehida. Bendicum, Vahatish. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Who is getting blessed? If I will that he tarry till I come, when you read your Bible, what do you see? The issue is that you are reading with common sense. You have been told God is one kind. You fit everything you read into that image you have in your heart. So you cut, you subtract, you minus, you divide, as long as you fit into that image. Elijah, a mortal man, rode on immortal horse and entered into eternity. How did he do it? Did the Bible not say that this corrupt body must first put on incorruption? How did a man get there? It means incorruptible body swallowed him while he was here. Let me take you back to the Genesis of who we are. In the book of Genesis, the outermost part of man is not flesh, it was the spirit. That's why they were naked and they were not aware, because there was a covering of the glory. It was after the fall that man was reduced to this sack was after the fall. Man by his divine creation, the glory of God is the suit that envelops him. That's why it takes a fallen man to assemble after the flesh. Are you seeing that? Many things are possible. The only reason you are not seeing them is that God's image has been sold to you in a particular way, and you won't believe anything that does not fit into that. If Methuselah can live for almost 1,000 years, what do you think will take God to double it over John? Man by making was not designed to know what death is. Even after the fall, it took man to learn how to die. And it took him hundreds of years. He couldn't die. He had to be learning. And the devil fast-tracked the process. It could have taken longer. He made sure the first fellow that will exit this earth, the soul was taken from him. Abel. From that moment, there was a license for the earth to take the life of man prematurely. After God finished everything, the first person to exit, the life was snatched. So the first death on earth was murder. It was not natural. Death was empowered. But despite that, he still took man. Hundreds of years. In Psalm 90 verse 10, most of you need to understand is Psalm 90 verse 10. The Bible is not saying that your years on earth should be 70. Psalm 90 verse 10, look at what the Bible said there. The days of our years are 80. A score is 20, 80 is 60 and 10. If by reason of strength, they be 80. If you read this story was a complaint. It was a complaint about the reason people were dying early. What you need to know is that you can be powered. The same way you power a battery with electricity, you can power yourself with the word. Let's leave that. When you are ready, we'll come there. So, it was John that was the usual disciple that rest. You see, what does this teaching have to do with the coming of Jesus? Hold on. He rests usually on the chest of Jesus. Was the beloved. If anybody wanted to know anything that no other disciple know, ask John. Not Peter. John. So of all of them, who was closest to Jesus? John. Well, let's look at an event. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation 1. If you are there, say amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants the things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him, which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sin in his own blood. and has made us kings and priests unto God our Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds, and all earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of peace and patience of Jesus Christ, which is the isle that is called, in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ, I was in the spirit on the last day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven church which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. What voice did he say here? He heard the sound like a trumpet. How does the one you have spent your life with now have a voice that sounds like a trumpet? It was the same Jesus. Some of you had classmates in secondary school. Sometimes some of those that you bullied the most in class, call them ugly, call them dirty, late, or late, they are late comers, noisemakers. You didn't really like them. But now they are in highly placed places that you wish you are still their friends. And when they talk to you, say, Latte, is this still you? Even John was the one saying this. And when he heard this voice, he says, like a trumpet. In John 21, when Jesus came to them, after that he had risen, they couldn't recognize him. And it was the same Jesus. They were hungry. Peter took them to fish. Jesus came. He didn't have to fish, but he had fishes. And it was roasting. And they looked at him steadfastly. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said, that is Jesus. Peter said, what? The rest were towing the ship back to the land. Peter jumped into the sea. And when they came, it was still the same Jesus on the other side. He stooped down and was roasting the fish. He had bread prepared for children who should not live by bread alone. If this is what you want to live for, let's start from there again. When I started with you, it was still around the same business. I thought you should have learned. But since you have not learned, eat the fish and eat the bread. And just when it was getting sweet in his mouth, what Jesus cooked should be sweet. And he had to ask Peter, with the bread still soft, stopped in his mouth and the fishes. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? It was not a question that was asked where the man will answer with laughter. Because when you hear of the judgment seat of Christ, what comes to your mind? We will all come one by one, and then we will stand, and we will ask you, on 17th of October 2013, you said this and you said that. The judgment of Christ is that you will be shown what is, and you will see what you are. And impurities will be caught. How was Isaiah judged in the year that Uzziah died? He saw the Lord. And what was his introduction about himself? Who is me? For I'm a man of unclean lips. Who told him? You are only boastful because you don't know what is. When you think about heaven, what comes to your mind? God is going to call everybody one after the other. Maybe after 19 hours, it will be your own turn. Have you seen believers before that just by seeing them, an action in your life was judged? You came to a place with Toyota Corolla. 2004 model, and you were shouting to someone, say, do you know who I am in this place? Do you know who's talking to you? Do you know? And while you were doing that, you saw someone speaking nicely and even trying to calm you down. I said, we are sorry, going on our knees and all those things. I said, I'll show you who I am in this city. We run this city. And the man said, we are sorry. And after the whole thing, she entered a Rolls Royce. What happens to you? Sense is restored. And pride is judged by an action. So when God says that we will judge angels, what do you think? Some believers will walk in uprightness. And angels will say, even us that don't have the flesh, why couldn't we meet up with this? When I go on social media and I see people abusing ministers of God, this is the only place they can do it. When we see each other in heaven again, the difference will be clear. Is this not the world where somebody will look at someone like Pastor here at Adeboye and say, that's a boy? And you see a man who has set his face like a flint. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm just going to meet my Savior. See, what does he know? The only place that allows bragging is where? Here. Yeah. It's the only place. Where somebody will tell a man of God, I need to come and show you, I need to come and read you. I need to show you who I am, you need to know the Bible. Where is the only place that allows such bragging? Here. Just here. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a great voice. He said it was a great voice. As of a trumpet. When you hear a trumpet, what comes to your mind? You are shaking to your core, right? Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. He didn't introduce himself to John as the normal Jesus again. The first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches in Asia. Now, look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, being turned. I will not even be allowed to see the voice directly. There are protocols I have to pass through. I turn to look at him. You won't see him like that. Who are you? There are seven golden candlesticks. What does this signify? There are seven dimensions of operation of the Spirit. Go to verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Because if you look at this candlestick, you think they are the ones that are seated. This is your candle, you buy 20 naira here. One like the Son of Man. And that's why if you hear anyone talk about the description of heaven, the word you keep saying is like, not as. You have no adjective to qualify as it is. But like the Son of Man, clothed with a white garment down to the foot and girt about with paps of a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as the snow. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining. Can he put his head on the chest of this same Jesus? Have you seen people who used to know you when you were not up to this? And now God has lifted you, but they have chosen in their heart to still relate with you as a low person. That's not wisdom. That's the reason why many have lost many relationships. When God elevates a man, you rise up in honor with that level. John, what will you be thinking if you were John? So Jesus was this powerful. Ha! Everything about heaven was around him and about him. Have you seen an angel before? A mighty angel. When we get to junctions of teachings, like, nobody wants to admit they have seen angels. But when you are boasting with your friends, you say you saw 24 angels. There are angels that are bigger than this building. I shared you time I was on flight to Abuja, and honestly, the turbulence that day was quite funny. And I started confessing my love for Jesus. There's something that will happen to you. And the Lord opened my eyes. And I saw an angel, like he carried the plane on his shoulders. And between Lagos and Abuja, I only saw him take 3 steps. I shared the story with you of this prophet. What's his name again? Bob Jones. Men have walked this earth. Have a respect. Some men are not your mate. They have walked this earth. A pastor was to pick Bob Jones from the airport. He got to the airport. He picked him. Bob Jones was already waiting. Bob Jones said to him, "You came late." The pastor said, "This is the time I was told to come." Though he did that mistake twice, until Bob Jones now told him that if you were walking by the Spirit, you would have been here earlier. Sometimes you talk to someone, you take them time to understand. After the whole ministration Bob Jones had in that city, Bob Jones said the pastor should give him his number. He said, "Give me your number. When you are in trouble, I will call you." He didn't say, "Take my number. When you are in trouble, call me." He said, "Give me your number. When you are in trouble, I will call you. I will know when you are in trouble." So, after a while, the pastor started having nightmares. He was tormented at night. And early in the morning one day, around 5 a.m., Bob Jones called him. And they said, "Demons have been tormenting you, right?" The pastor was shocked. And he said, "From now they will not torment you. God is going to send his divine messenger this. After a few days, the pastor was sleeping. Then he noticed that his bed was shaking. And he thought there was an earthquake or something. You know, you are sleeping and you are thinking many things. And the pastor opened his eyes and he saw a man standing by the bed. That was the reason why the bed was shaking. And he just said, "Maybe a thief has broken into this house." And as he said that, the man was looking at him with more anger. And he looked at the man. The man was dressed like a wrestler. He had
what they call this shin guard there. I was wearing the shoe like a wrestler. And as the pastor thought to himself that could this be an angel, then he vanished. Then Bob Jones called him. And he said, you saw an angel this morning, right? He said, yes. They were discussing with him. Pastor brought the issue up. Then Bob Jones said, the angel you saw, did he look like a wrestler? He said, yes. Was he wearing band on his leg like a fighter? He said, yes. Was he in a bad mood? He said, yes. He said, that's Michael. He's always in a bad mood. What the whole world is dealing with is just one devil. There are other powerful angels that fell, that they have to be locked up in Euphrates. If they are allowed to roam the earth, it will be trouble. But there are some also that fell with him. The Bible called them spiritual wickedness in high places. God didn't allow them to have influence over there. If they should, the Bible was describing Revelation 20. Just one angel controls the body of water. 70% of the earth, one. Now we are talking about Jesus. Not Lucifer. God who became flesh. Man can never understand such level of humility. If you hear that God became flesh, it won't sound like humility until you know what he was living for, what he was taking. This sounds like humility because you didn't know where it was coming from. You're only a champion to those that know you. And John was. Look at what happened in verse 17. Revelations 1:17. Can they project? Okay. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Somebody say, this same Jesus. If you want to say, oh God, for now we're there together now, we're there for her together. There's a system, function, you dare not. Nobody needs to tell you to have sense. It is only fading glow you can see interact that with. This kind, you dare not. You won't even want to do it. It won't even come to you to do it. Say, bros, dear Alpha, it can't come. I heard one of our pastors was talking, and he said there was a day he was talking and he wanted to say Pastor Femi, and it was like a force forced his mouth to say Papa. Somebody look and say, why are they calling these young people Papa? I've spoken against before. What did you? If you know the way you are supposed to know, a force will tell you it's not your age mate. I'm not talking about myself now. Ministers of the gospel. You want to, but there's a witness. Say, then my son, keep quiet there. As I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is the first time they are using the word as and not like. What is the meaning? He passed out. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. Another introduction. And this is not pride. If you introduce yourself in light of what you are not, it is pride. When God was introduced himself to Moses, he said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. The first time he met Moses, he said, what name should I tell Pharaoh that you are? He said, tell him, I am that I am. Funny names. Unconventional names. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. 19. Write these things which thou hast seen. John. Are you saying the same Jesus? We ate fish together. We ate bread together. There was a time he was bathing in the bedroom. I took bucket. I went to grab more water for him because the soap, the water was not enough. Because you need to understand that they lived the same normal life we lived. We were together when he went to see Peter's mother-in-law. That time we ate the bread together. They were not just eating bread. When you think about that, you just think of bread. We ate the bread together. We drank the wine. Hold on. Within how many years? This is AD 70. The gap between them is already eternity. Just how many years? Ha! Huh. John would have been thinking, was he like this before he came, or he became this after he came? Whatever this is, what's happening? Until John saw Revelations 4. Give me Revelations 4. I think you need to understand that the kind of vision that birthed the book of Revelation was not vision of the night. It was not the one you sleep and wake up. It was the kind. It was a trance. It was awake. It was divine intention to get the only place you could have gotten the privacy in there for this was on an island. Near death. That was the exact angle of alignment needed to see this kind. Near death. Let me say it again. Near death. That was the needed angle. So this kind of vision is not for those who have just finished taking rice. You must have given up on all things, and everyone have given up on you, believing you are no more. You can't be anymore. That's the kind of privacy in there for this. And Revelation chapter number 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. You must understand, the book of Revelation was not angels walking him to heaven to show him. It was the revelation of Jesus given to John. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Three quickly. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, like a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seat I saw, he took note of the seat before he saw the elder. It takes a magnificent seat for you to notice the seat and those sitting upon. He had to separate them. The queen of Sheba came to see the wisdom of Solomon. She met his servant. She was bewildered. The men that stood before Solomon, they looked better than the king of Solomon she had. He took note of the majesty, the magnificence of where he was, upon the seat. I saw 420 elders. And when the Bible says elders, these are elders. I bet you don't know what an elder looks like. When most of them walked the earth, they were abused. Some of them didn't have the opportunity of walking in fame. An elder is not necessarily a man with great ministry. An elder is a man with a great work. Cathedrals does not make an elder. It is the degree to which Christ is formed. Oh God. And these elders, they were also clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crown of gold. The crown is a sign that they overcame. So the elders were men. I don't have time to go into the theology of this. It's a very serious issue. No elder will see themselves as an elder on earth. And out of the throne proceed lightnings. And hey, nothing here can make room for familiarity. Lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire. But he could see the candlestick better. These are not candles, they were lamps. Burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea. Not a river. What must have, if this was mathematics, I will ask you, what angle, at what angle was he seeing this? Definitely over to see. The throne seemed close, but yet far away enough to contain a sea. A sea of glass like crystal in the midst of the throne, and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes. So, if you feel you are an elder, there is also another beast, and they are full of eyes. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And all these beasts will have their own time. We're having a foretaste of the eagle dimension now. Though, if you combine the revelation of John and the revelation of Ezekiel, it won't look like four beasts anymore. It will look like a beast with four sides. Let's leave that. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and he is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever, the 420 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Who was John seeing? This same Jesus. The thunder looked like something that can strike you dead if you dare to get familiar. There were thunders. There were lightnings. Look at what John saw in Revelation 5. And I'm going to round up here tonight. Revelation chapter number 5. Time. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy. Meaning that this is a seal that is to be accessed by men. What is the meaning of this? At some point, a man needs to enter into a stature that is worthy to open these seals. And these are vital seals that needs to be opened. There are still more seals we are yet to open. It is not to the advantage of the church that the scrolls are closed. If we have time to read, we'll look at what each seal represents, and they show there are events that will play out in there. Some of them are played out. Why is it important that someone is able to open the seal? Because knowing what the seal contains will help our preparation. Are you aware that Matthew 24 is a seal? Show us what will be the sign of your coming. Somebody is trying to pop a seal open. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 6. Verse 5. And one of the elders, And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He wept because he knew the significance for humanity. This has to be opened. No man could. Not in heaven at that point. Not in the earth. This is very important. If you look at Revelation 7:9, if I'm not making a mistake, Revelation 7:9, and I beheld. Now, look up. What was captured here is the number of saints that will be standing after rapture. A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kingdoms, and all people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with ripe white robes and palms in their hands. These are the ones who have prevailed. But it is important the seals are opened. In heaven, it is settled. In earth, power must settle it here. God knows all who are captured here. And it takes power to make this a reality. Some sons must operate in a level to make sure that not just few are here. But what was in the mind of John when all this was happening? I had the privilege to be the one that the whole heaven is centered around him for 3.5 years. What did I do with that Jesus? This same Jesus that Bible says, he in you, the hope of glory. What are you doing with that same Jesus? It is still the same Jesus that is living in you by the Holy Ghost that is coming again in the clouds.
You can treat him anyhow now, but the days coming, the whole earth will tremble before him. The same Jesus that some pastors have used to dupe people. The same Jesus some have used to sleep with members. The same Jesus that some had used to lie. The same Jesus they had used to extort. The same Jesus some had used to kill and bury people in their church. The same Jesus some had trivialized. The same Jesus people have lied about, lied on, lied against. It is still the same Jesus coming. When your eyes of understanding is open here, you will fear him. Why? It will be revealed to you. The same Jesus will wake up in the morning and didn't say hello to. Didn't say hello. The same Jesus we don't say good morning to. The same Jesus we don't acknowledge, as much as he's trying to help us in everything we want to. The same Jesus we ignore in our decision making process. This same Jesus is coming again. It is that Jesus within you. The one that after this message, you move on with your life. It doesn't matter what happens to him. The same Jesus you are afraid to stand and testify of in the bus. The same Jesus you are now too big to walk for on the street and win souls for. It is that same Jesus. Let's bow down our heads. And talk to God. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted anymore. I don't want to take you for granted. Help me, Lord, never to take you for granted. I'm wasting the access I have to you now. And one day we'll see you face to face. And I don't want to wish I had done better. I don't want to wish I had done better. I want to maximize my relationship with you now. I want to maximize it, Lord. I want to maximize it. I want to see. I want to know your grace so I can live your day. I want to see you just the way you are. Shene rokunda bakile tingre hedika. Shene mikindo no kundi bahaki lende roko shente roko. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Rise to your feet.
Let me say this to every one of you. We have not just been called to walk for God. We have been called to walk with God. Our stature is not based on the work we do for Him. Remember Uzzah. His hands are not shutting to you to do anything he wants to do. If you will not walk with Him, don't walk for Him. He would prefer that you walk with Him and finish strong than to walk for Him and waste your life and waste away. I'm telling you. This is mindset. Was it not Martha that was busy cooking and doing all those kind of wonderful stuff for Him? And he said Mary had chosen a better path. They have chosen the better path. Intimacy is the first call. He called the 12 that they should be with Him. Then He might send them forth. When you hear about the last days, what comes to your mind? You want to quickly win as many souls as possible. Use the sword as an anchor first before it becomes a weapon of war. As an anchor in what sense? We are fighting on a slippery ground. Let it hold you firmly first. You don't keep fighting and you fall off and you wander away. Many of you are far from what I'm teaching. You are like the distance between you and what I'm saying. The depth of it is like distance between heaven and earth. You can't understand. You can't comprehend. It tells you are living a dangerous life. If you can't comprehend these basics, this simple, how do you want to comprehend standing before Him? Some people can't understand what I'm saying. These things are too deep. What are they? And you have the same Bible, the same Holy Ghost, the same 24 hours. When we get to this point, we lose you every time. You buy other books about business, about finance, nothing about your soul. So the church is backward. We are driven with every wind of doctrine. If anybody says this now, everything you know, you are confused again. You are wondering which one is saying the truth. You have no firm anchor anywhere. If somebody comes, hold on. What kind of boldness did Paul have that he said if any man brings another gospel, whether an angel or man, let them be accursed. How will a man say if angel tell you something else, let the angel be cursed? He knew what he was saying. He knew the depth. He knew the extent. He had journeyed with God enough to know no angel should have anything contrary. That was a man speaking. An angel would say, yes, sir. And the church is backward. Far from this truth. Many churches no longer have time to talk about this coming, but it will come. And ignorance is no defense. It will come. And that's why many of us have the effort to live our lives the way we want it. Make any kind of decision. Make any choice. You have not caught that revelation that you are standing before God. I want to lead you in prayer. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of looking like it. I want to catch the glimpse of your revelation.